How many's ready to take your faith to a new level? Are you ready to do that? If you're ready to do that, put your hands together one more time. Say, God, I'm ready. We are taking our faith to a new level, next level faith. We realize that in seasons of our life, our faith should be growing. And that when we first accept Christ as our Savior, it says by faith we receive the grace that is given to us. That's the first operation of faith right there, receiving the grace of God. But for many of us, that's the only operation of faith that we unlock. We unlock that promise of grace, and we realize that the key to faith is this. We use faith as the key to unlocking the many promises of God in our life. It's got to be activated with the keys of faith. And so we're learning how to do that. We've given several principles over the last several weeks on keys and principles, developing those skills, unlocking the next level of faith in your life. Now today I want to talk to you. Last week we talked about taking off the Pharaoh out of our mind. Remember we talked about taking off the filter of our glasses? That for Moses in his life, that he was raised in the household of Pharaoh. Therefore, when God was trying to reveal himself to Moses, Moses had a hard time at first because he was seeing God through the eyes of Moses and seeing God as Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh taught him from the time he was young that he was a god. Pharaoh taught him, I am the ultimate God. And even though he had his mom telling him who God really was, he still was being influenced in the house of Pharaoh. And so he seen Pharaoh as somebody who wanted to kill him, who wanted to destroy him. And he feared Pharaoh. And so therefore he had a hard time entering to a different level of faith in his relationship with God. And for us, many times, if we're going to take that next step, we've got to realize that the way we were raised, the church we attended, whether you was raised in church or wasn't raised in church, the church, different things, authority figures in your life, your parents, all that shapes the way we see God. If we're not careful, it will stop us and filter and limit our ability to see God in the fullness of who he was. He said, Moses, he took Moses and showed him his sevenfold goodness. And you can't always see that when you're keeping God confined to a box by the way we were always raised. And so sometimes we got to take that off. And so it's a very, very important sermon in the heart of every believer. If you missed it, I invite you to go to our website, mydestinychurch.com, and listen to that podcast this week. I believe it will really encourage you. Today, I want to talk to you about power and authority. Let's say it together, power and authority. In the heart of every believer, God has placed this word, power and authority. These words, power and authority, it's something that he's wanting us to learn to walk in. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. When we read about stories such as Moses, we see it's the New Testament concealed in these stories so that when we get to the New Testament, it's the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so we see where God is showing us our relationship with him through these stories that have happened, how God is reaching out, leading us, empowering us throughout the Old Testament. We find the symbolism all throughout the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we see it revealed. How God wants to reveal his power and authority in our life. And so we're going to pick it back up. We've been talking about Moses. Let's keep it up. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And I realize that Moses, this time in his life, he spent the first 40 years of his life after he was picked up out of the Nile from his mom, put him there to protect him. She floated him down in the basket. Pharaoh's daughter sees him, pulls him out, protects him, raises him up as a prince of Egypt in Pharaoh's house. And then at 40 years of age, approximately, he kills one of the slave masters who was abusing one of his people. And so now Pharaoh's wanting to kill him, and so now he flees for his life. He flees to the backside of the desert there, and he's been in hiding now for approximately 40 years. He's been in hiding. Let's pick it back up in the story. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert. Have you ever felt like you're living in the back of the desert? Anybody here feel like that? Have you ever had seasons in your life when you feel like, man, I'm really living in a desert time, a dry time in my life? I've been on the run. I'm just back there. Nobody even knows. I'm just kind of walking through the motions, trying to exist. He's in the back of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. This is the mountain of Sinai, right there at the edge of Mount Sinai. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame, a fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Now verse 7 says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. How many are thankful that God sees the oppression of his people? I want you to know today, God sees when you are oppressed. He goes, I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Let me tell you, the will of the enemy, Satan's will for your life is this, that he wants you to live your life oppressed and in fear. He wants you to live your life oppressed and in fear. And so we see this happening where they're being oppressed, They're living in fear, and Satan's got it exactly where they want. But God sees that. And it's not God's will for every believer in this room. It's not his will that we would live our life oppressed and living in fear. But he's came to give us life and life to the fullness through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so he sees them oppressed. And things begin to happen. Now, Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, let's pick it up in the story. Moses answered out of the bush and said, "But God, suppose that they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'Lord has not appeared to you.'" I mean, Moses, he's got some great concerns here. God's calling Moses out of the bush to go set his people free. God calls somebody else. "I'm not a good talker. I can't talk very much in front of people. I stutter a lot, and all these things happen. I'm not a very elegant speaker. You need to get somebody else with more boldness. I'm running in fear. I've been hiding for 40 years. This is Moses' story, but God has called him and says, "I'm giving you authority. And the Lord has not appeared to you." So the Lord said to him, "What is it is in your hand?" He said, "The rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. Moses jumped back from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out, take your hand, take it by the tail." He reached out, grabbed it, caught it, and it became a rod back in his hand. That they may, look what God said, "that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. And you shall take this rod." Everybody say, "Take the rod." God's got a rod for you and I to take. And it's the power of God that he's wanting to give us. The authority of God he's got for our life. He said, "Now you take this with you and you shall do these signs." Listen to this statement. God's authority must be combined with God's power. God's authority must be combined with God's power. We have too many people trying to walk in God's authority but never walking in his power. And a lot of people who try to walk in God's power but never walk in God's authority. And at the very balance of every believer, God wants us to learn what it means to walk in authority and power. It's a balance that God wants us to learn that we have been given authority delegated to us from the Father through his Son Jesus, and he's given us power through the Holy Spirit. And he's wanting us to learn that we can walk in his authority and power every day in our life. See, authority without power is just a badge. You're given a badge as a symbol of authority, but if you have authority without any power to back it up, it's just a badge. But if they give you a weapon, are you impressed with my little plastic gun here? Yeah, it's really, really impressive there. It's the best $2.50 I ever spent on this little Western set. Anyway, if we've been given the power but no authority, then we're also in trouble. Right? It's the balance. We've been given the badge as authority, and we've been given the power to back it up, to enforce it, to do that. And one without the other is off balance in our life, and it needs to be, we're working in both areas of our life. We have the badge, and we have the power. Now, listen to that. Now, keep that in mind as we go to the next scripture here, Luke chapter 4, verse 35 through 37. Jesus is, now remember, at this time, Jesus is walking around, he's teaching, but he's kind of on the down low. He's not revealing himself completely as the Messiah yet. And so he's not really revealing that part of him, but Jesus walks into the temple to teach. Look what happens. He walks into the temple, and all of a sudden the demons start showing up. This man's speaking up, saying, "Hey, what do you have to do with us? Why are you here?" In this demonic voice, you know. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in the midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is. For with what? Authority and power." Let's say it again. "With authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits and they come out." And the report about him went all throughout the surrounding region. Now, we see this happening. People are amazed because not only did he teach with authority, but he operated with power as well. And so much so that Jesus was not revealing that he was the Messiah yet to many people, but even the demons recognized the authority when they walked in the room. He walked into the room, they're like, "Whoa, get away from us, man. There's some authority in that person right there. There's some authority. That man, that's the Messiah. What do you have to do with the Son of God?" They recognized the authority, even though he wasn't there to deal with them. they were already showing out, submitting to him, and came out at the command of his voice. Why? Because he operated in pure authority, and he operated in pure power. He was both. He had authority of the Scripture. He had authority because he was the Scripture, and he had authority because he had been given all power from heaven. And so he was walking in this authority and power. Jesus was full of it, full of authority and power. See, God has a plan for our lives, and that plan will never be come to realization in the fullness until we learn to walk in the authority and power that God has given us. We've got to learn to see how do we bring that to fruition in our life, ultimately submitting to that. Luke 10:19, Jesus was talking to a big group of believers, and he says, "Behold, I give you," who? Us. He's talking about us. "I give you the authority to trample on the serpents." The serpent was a representation of Satan. The scorpions is anything that has to do with Satan. Anybody who is, belongs, any of his demons, his legions, any of his taskmasters. Listen, the serpent, anybody associated with him, and over all the power of the enemy. Over how much power? Some of the power? All. Everybody say all. All the power. Jesus gave us all authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We got to realize that God is giving us this ultimate authority over the enemy in our lives. And he gave us the ultimate power as well. In Acts 1:8, he says, "We shall receive" what? Power. We shall receive what? Power. Let's say it together. We shall receive power. After that, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be his witnesses throughout, what, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. We shall receive this power. Now, he says he gives you authority, and he gives us power. Authority is where we get the word exousia in Scripture, which translates divine permission, supreme, judicial authority. The supreme, highest authority has been given to us, a divine authority, divine permission. We have been given divine authority to live our everyday life. It's the authority we've been given. Let me say this a different way. We have been deputized. We've been given the badge. We've all received our spiritual badge. When you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we have been given the spiritual badge. We've been deputized into God's army. Let me ask you this question. If the chief of police and the mayor got together on a news conference today and said, "Hey, listen, our communities are under attack. From the outside, we've had a big, high number of gang cartel coming into the area, and they're very violent, and they're bringing in their drugs, and there's just a big drug war going on in territory, and they're killing people, robbing them of their homes, burning them up, and we can't keep up with it. There's not enough people to go around, so we need people to volunteer and step up, and let us deputize you today and help us fight these people." Many people would go down and would volunteer to fight, and you would go down, and they would deputize you, and they say, "Raise your hand." They swear you in, and they give us all a badge and said, "All right, these guys have got some of the most advanced weapons there is. They're some of the most dangerous people there is, and they will kill you if they see you. Here's your badge. Go out there and fight them. Good luck." Oh, wait a minute. Do we get a gun? Do we get any weapon? Do we get any kind of task force behind us? What are we doing? No, here's your badge. Good luck. We're like, "Well, I need to think this thing through a little bit here. I'm doing the math here, and it doesn't add up. It's going to be very good for me if I don't have a weapon as well." It's not. See, it's important that we get the badge, but it's also important we get the power to back it up. We get the power to enforce it in our life, that we have been given the authority, and we've also been given the power to back it up. He has given us authority and power. It's important. The word for power we see, we just used it here, is the word dunamis in Scripture. It's the same word we get the word dynamite from. It's God's power and ability. We have been given dunamis power, dynamite power, or God's ability and power in our lives. And we've got to learn to use it and apply it. You shall receive this power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So when I accept the work of the cross, when I accept the work of the cross and I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, surrender my life to him and his lordship, I become deputized. I get my badge, spiritual badge. And we follow that up many times with water baptism as a public confession of our faith. We've been water baptized, made Jesus Lord of our life, confessed him as Lord of our life. And then we receive our spiritual badge. And when we come to the Holy Spirit and we say, Holy Spirit, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. God, I want you to fill me. When we pray that prayer, God, I want your spirit to fill me completely from every part of my soul, every part of my mind, every part of my life. I want the Holy Spirit to be in full control. I surrender fully to the Holy Spirit. And I say, Holy Spirit, submerge me today. Submerge me in your presence. Submerge me in the power of the Holy Spirit. When that happens, I get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then I receive what? My power. My power comes through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My badge comes through the water baptism, my public confession that Jesus Christ has washed away my sins. I accept the power of the cross. So we've been given both of these, the authority and the power. Receive it. See, the closer we get to God, the more authority we walk in. We've all received that badge at the grace level. God, by faith, I receive the grace. And I step into faith. And I unlock that promise of grace and I walk in it. But the closer I begin to walk to God, the closer I walk to God, the more authority I will walk in. Because I have more recognition. I have more understanding. I have more awareness that God has given me the power over the things, the enemy in my life, in my family. And I walk in that power because I'm walking closer to God. The closer I walk to God, the more authority I walk in. It just happens. The more I give myself and surrender of the Holy Spirit, you've heard me say it before, we pray all the time, God, give us more, give us more, give us more. Give me more of the Holy Spirit. God, give me more of the Holy Spirit. No, our prayer should be, God, I surrender more. I surrender more. God, I give more. We're learning to say, God, I surrender more to the Holy Spirit. The more I surrender to the Holy Spirit and let Him flood me and take control of my life, when I pray that prayer, we receive a weapon. It's a power. But the problem is this, that we have many spiritual people that are walking around with spiritual BB guns. You've been given a weapon, but it ain't very big because we never operate in it. Here, Holy Spirit's like, here, take this BB gun. Until you're ready to use it right, I'll just practice with this. But the more I go closer to God and the more I yield my life to the Holy Spirit, the more powerful the Holy Spirit becomes in my life. There's other people walking around with some spiritual bazookas around here today, and they're doing some damage in the kingdom for the kingdom of God and doing some damage against the enemy. Why? Because they've learned to fully submit themselves to the Holy Spirit. See, the closer I get to God, the more authority I walk in. And the more I surrender my life to the Holy Spirit, the more power I walk in. It's God's ultimate goal, ultimate plan for my life, was for me to walk in the fullness of power and authority in my life. God does not want His children to live in fear and oppression. But He's called us to live beyond that. That's why He died on the cross, so we can live free from fear and oppression. That's why He gave us the power of the Holy Spirit, so we can live free from fear and oppression. It's not God's will for us to live our life all the time in fear and oppression. But He's come to give us authority and power so we can take our faith level to a new level. Rise it up to a new level. Look what Exodus says here in chapter 14. Verses 13 through 16. Now Moses is gone. Remember God said all the plagues. Finally Pharaoh releases them. They're celebrating, going out into the desert. And they come to the Red Sea. And they're getting fearful. Moses, why'd you bring us out here to die? Remember that we talked about it last week? They had those same glasses on. You know, God doesn't love us. He just brought us out here to die because they were seeing God through the eyes of Pharaoh. But Moses, all of a sudden, remember Moses, the guy who couldn't speak, the guy who was fearful to speak to all these people. God, you send somebody else. I'm not a good speaker. All of a sudden, we see the spirit of T.D. Jakes come upon Moses. When I write this story, God showed me something very, very unique here, and I want you to get it today. So here's Moses, for the first time, standing in front of all the people. He's like, get ready, get ready, get ready. He gets that voice going. He speaks over the people. And Moses said, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation. Come on, Charlton Heston is coming through me this morning. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. I mean, this is great. I mean, Braveheart couldn't have done any better here. Mel Gibson could not portray this any better. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I mean, he's given this great inspirational moment. Rise up, God's going to deliver us. And all of a sudden, God taps Moses on the shoulder. Time out, Moses. What are you doing? Well, God, you called me to lead, and I'm giving this great speech. I'm proclaiming that you're going to deliver us. Look what God's response to him is. Moses, why do you cry out to me? Now tell the children of Israel to go. And he goes, take that rod I gave you and lift it up like I told you. Stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground and go through the midst of the sea. God's like, time out, Moses. Great speech. I'm inspired here. But I've already given you the rod, and I've already told you to go. Now do what I've already empowered you to do. Pick up what I've already put in your hand, stretch it out, and see what God does. Quit talking about it and do something. And I love this because he's saying, go. I've already empowered you with the rod. See, God, look at this. God won't do for us. This is so important. God won't do for us what he has already empowered us to do. God won't do for us what he's already empowered for us to do. We spend so much time in our life trying to do things that God's already empowered us to do. We sit around waiting. God, I'm waiting for you to do a miracle. God, I'm waiting for you to set this thing free. God, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. God, I'm waiting. Waiting. Come on. We're waiting. I'm waiting on the world to change, God. And God's like, get up. Pick up your Holy Spirit. I've already given you the power. The rod's in your hand. Pick up the power of the Holy Spirit. Walk in the authority I've already given to you. I've given you a spiritual badge. Put that thing on. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Take captive the thing that's binding you. Take that thing captive and loose it. I've given you that power. Now walk in it. Now listen, there's a time to pray. There's a time to read our word. There's a time to meditate on the Lord and to hear his voice. There's a time for worship, but there's a time to get up and to go forward. There's a time to say, I got to get up out of the ashes and go forward and walk in the power that God has given my life. We have too many people to sit around waiting. And God's already given you the authority, and he's already given you the power. Get up and walk in it. Get up and use it. Get up and proclaim it over your family, over your marriage, over your children, over your job. Get up, proclaim it, and walk in it. He's given it to us. It's up to us to get up. Stop waiting on God to do what he's already empowered us to do. Stand up. Take authority over the devil in your life. He will pester you until you do. He will pick on you until you do. He will bother you until you do. Every believer has authority. Every believer who has asked the Holy Spirit to fill you has been given the power with that authority. Use it. Operate in it. Unlock it for our lives. Because we've been given this power and authority. Let me give you a statement here. The devil and anything associated with him has no right to rule over us or oppress us. He has no right to do this. But rather, we have God-given authority to rule over him. Jesus gave us the authority and the power to rule over the enemy. He has no spiritual authority in your life unless we give it to him. Unless we just stay there. Unless we remain silent, he has no authority. I've been given authority to rule over him. I've just got to exercise that authority, and I've got to exercise that power in my life. Matthew 28:18, look what Jesus said. Jesus said, I came and he spoke to him. All authority has been given to me. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Where? In heaven and on earth. All authority in heaven, which we believe, and we have no problem with that, but what we really struggle many times is the authority on earth. Does Jesus really have the authority on earth? Yes, and he's given it to you and I. We've been given authority on earth and in heaven. We've been given authority. He says, therefore, go, man. Go forward. The same word he told the Israelites. Turn around and go with the authority I've given you. Stretch out what I've already placed in your hand. Take the power I've given your hand, Moses. Stretch it out. Isn't it amazing that he had that staff there with him? Why? So every time in his journeys, he walked with that staff, he was reminded of God's power was with him at his right hand at all times. As he struggled up the mountain, it was God's power that was leading him. It was God's power that was directing him. God's power that was with him all along the journey. We've been given the Holy Spirit as well. He says, it's good that I go, that I can send to you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that we can know that we don't walk this alone, but he's given us a rod that is called the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to defeat the enemy. It gives us the power to defeat the things in our life, the shortcomings in our life, the mistakes. It gives us the power to walk in the grace God's given us. It gives us the power to walk in the healing power that God has for us. It gives us the power to walk in the authority God has for our life, our marriage, our home. We've got to realize he's given it to us. We've got to use it. Satan has no authority over my mind. Satan has no authority over my mind, my body, my marriage, my home. He has no authority. Quit being a spiritual wimp and giving it up to him. Take it back. Come on now. I've been there before. I've given up the ground before. And I recognize it. And it's when I come into authority with that and say, no, I got to take that back. God has always given me back the authority when I take it and operate in it. Look what he says in Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. And also, Jesus said this, I say to you that Peter... Now remember, Peter's like, God, I believe you're the Messiah. Peter gets a revelation of who Jesus really is. And Jesus says, man, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is the authority for the believers today, that we can come into agreement that when I bind something on earth, it's bound in heaven. When I loose something on earth, it's loosed in heaven. There's times in my life that I'll feel things attacking me or attacking my marriage or attacking my home, my family, or some are going through something. And I'll say, honey, man, we just got to pray. And let me tell you, this is because I'm a pastor. Doesn't mean it's always easy for me to go to my wife and say, oh, honey, let's go pray. Let's bind together. Sometimes I got to press through that. Sometimes the heart, it's easy for me to go pray for you. Sometimes it's pray for my wife, because sometimes I have to go through that. I don't know why. But your wife really sees you for who you are. You know what I mean? Some of you guys, she sees me for all my idiotic flaws I am. And so for me to come to her sometimes and say, let's just pray, honey, you know. But we grab together and we pray and we take into agreement, God, I bind that spirit that's attacking in the name of Jesus. And before I say amen, I can feel things shifting and loosening on earth, in our home, in our marriage, the problem we were praying about. It happens. I'm telling you, it happens. There's never been a time that we didn't come in agreement that God did not honor that authority. And it wasn't that I was out there. I wasn't out there we just came into agreement. I didn't have to yell or scream. There's been a few times I've done that because I got really emotional about what I was into. Other times we prayed really soft, but we came into agreement, and every time we've agreed, the Lord has broken that spirit out of our lives and broken those things. It's the power we have as believer. We just got to operate in them. I've given the story before, and I'll remind you the story when we were trying to have children for the first time. We have 5 kids now. There was a time in our life when we were not able to get pregnant, and we were having miscarriage after miscarriage, and we had several miscarriages, and we were like, God, it's, you know, what's ever going to happen? And I came home one day, and my wife was sitting in the recliner, and she was crying, and she made a statement. She said, I'm never going to have kids. That's what she said. Well, she's crying, we'll never have kids. And believe me, at this point, I've been very soft toward her, and I've been, you know, very sensitive, and I've walked her through all that time. But something came in me that day. I can't tell you what it was. It was just a spiritual boldness that came in me. And I said, honey, I said, I rebuked that statement in the name of Jesus. I walked over to our back door, I opened the door of our home, and I walked around our home. It says, spirit of fear, I cast you out. Spirit of death, I cast you out. There will be life in this home, and we're going to walk in the blessing. And we're going to walk, and we're going to have a baby, and it's going to come. And how many know God answered that prayer more than once? We got 5 of them now. But I had to take that authority, and it pushed me way beyond my comfort zone. And we have been given this authority. We just got to use it. Use the authority God has given you. Use the authority He's given you. Use the power He's given you. It comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. We've been given this authority. We've been given this power. Don't let the enemy oppress you. Don't let the enemy let you live in fear. But stand up. Stand up and let God move in your life by using the authority. Quit waiting on God to do what He's empowered you to do already. Let's do it. Stand up. Take agreement. Stand in agreement. Take authority, spiritual authority, over the things the enemy's trying to destroy in your life. Your children, your work, your finances, your marriage, your health. Stand up. Take it. What I bind in heaven on earth is bound in heaven. What I loose on earth. God, I loose your healing power. God, I loose the Spirit, Lord, right now. God, I loose encouragement. God, I loose peace. God, I loose healing. I loose forgiveness. God, I loose in the name of Jesus. It's loosed in heaven. Walk in that spiritual authority. Walk in that spiritual power God has given us. The last scripture we're going to read to you, we're going to close. John 14:12 says, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done. Wow, what an awesome statement. Jesus said, you see me do all these things? If you believe in me, you can have the same power and authority in your life. He goes, I'll even take it greater. You guys can even do greater things than I've done. Has Jesus ever lied once in his life? No. Is every promise Jesus say true? Yes. Is every word spoken out of Jesus' mouth true? Yes. It's impossible for him to lie. So when he says, I can walk in the same power and authority and even see greater things and the same things he's seen, believe it. Walk in that authority. Walk in the power He's given our lives. The question I have for you today, have you received your spiritual badge? Have you received your badge? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. I want to ask you a question. If you're here today, maybe you're like several of the people here this morning who made a decision in the first service. Say, Pastor, I've never received my spiritual badge because I've never given my life to Christ. I've been curious for a while. I've been coming to church for a while. Or maybe this is your first time here. But today I'm ready to surrender my life to the Lordship of Jesus. I'm ready to confess Him as Lord of my life. We won't do anything to point you out or embarrass you at all. But with nobody looking but me right now, I want to ask you this question. If that's you, you say, Pastor, I want to pray and ask Jesus to be Lord of my life. Surrender to Him today. Can you just raise your hands? That's me. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you, guys. I see those hands in the back there as well. Thank you. If you raise your hand, I want you to put it down now. Thank you. I'm going to ask one more time for those who haven't raised your hand. You say, Pastor, I needed to raise my hand. I was really close. I encourage you today. Don't wait. I'm trying to change some things in my life. Listen, you'll never be good enough. None of us are. That's what they call grace. None of us are ever good enough. But through His grace, we come as we are. Then He begins to work on us. And His grace makes us good enough. It makes us righteous. Quit trying to change yourself, and today you just need to surrender your life fully to Jesus. If you haven't done that yet today, you want to do that, raise your hand. Say, I'm ready to surrender my life to Jesus. Accept Him as Lord of my life. Thank you. Raise your hand. If you haven't raised it, thank you. I see those hands. Thank you, guys. For those of you who raise your hands, we're going to say this prayer. I want you to say it out loud with me, and Christians around you, they're going to join us together. They're going to help us say it together to help you along. Say, dear Jesus, I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. I surrender all of my life to you. All of my sin, I give to you today. I accept the power of the cross, the grace of the cross. From this day forward, I will live my life following after you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, say, welcome to the family of God. Come on, give him a hand clap. Listen, if you pray that prayer for the first time, it's just the beginning. It's not the end. It's the beginning of the faith, okay? See, faith has levels, there's journeys, and it only happens when you get plugged into a home church and can connect with people who can love you and support you along the way. How many today say, Pastor, I've received my badge, but what I really need is more power in my life. I need the Holy Spirit to rebaptize me. I need the Holy Spirit to refill me. I need the Holy Spirit to do that. I need to surrender my life fully to the Holy Spirit. Anybody say that to me, Pastor? I'm ready for that. I need God to fill me fresh and new. I invite you to stand on your feet today. Say, I'm ready to receive the power that comes through the Holy Spirit. Surrender full life. I'm praying today God would fill me fresh and anew with the Holy Spirit. I'm praying today God would baptize me fresh and anew in the Holy Spirit. We're going to close with this song. And as we do, I'm going to invite you to, if you want to step out and say, Pastor, I'm coming into agreement today. I want the Holy Spirit to re-energize me, refill me, re-baptize me. I want to walk not only in my authority, but I want to walk in my God-given power. If you want to step out and come into agreement with us today as we sing this song in closing, let's make it the cry of our heart. He's given us the authority. He's given us the power.
The enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud.
Today, Father, as you lift your hands up today, I thank you, Lord, that you are giving us, Lord, the spiritual authority. And I pray to the heart of every believer that God, today, that we begin to walk in the spiritual authority you've given us for our lives, our marriages, our children, our family, our workplace, our health. God, I pray right now that people would rise up and watch and just walk in the spiritual authority. And I pray right now, Father, that you begin to baptize us fresh and anew with the Holy Spirit. That God, we are hungry for the Holy Spirit. God, we are hungry for more of you in our life. We surrender for more of you, God. We want to walk in authority. We want to walk in power. God, you have called us to be a Moses to our generation. You've called us, Lord, to deliver people who are oppressed, to be your witnesses. And God, I pray right now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that God, you begin to equip with power and authority people who will make a difference. And God, I pray right now that God, you're raising us up to a new level of faith. God, our eyes are not on anybody other than you. God, saying you alone are worthy. You alone, God, are worthy. You alone are worthy. And God, our authority comes from you. Our power comes from you. And God, we submit 100% to your lordship. We submit to the Holy Spirit. And God, we say, baptize us fresh and anew. If we say yes and amen, if you receive that, say yes. Come on, put your hands together. Cry out to him today. Hey, God, we love you. God, we love you, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you today. Don't be afraid to go in agreement. Come on. Some of you need to do that today. You need to go home and pray with somebody in agreement. If no one's there, you get in agreement with the Holy Spirit, and you pray with the Holy Spirit in agreement. If somebody's there, a spouse or friend, get in agreement with them over things that are happening. Walk in that authority. God bless you. Thank you guys so much for receiving the word today. We love you. You guys have a great, great week.